What words do Christians most want to hear? They could only be, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." I am Rob West. Those words, of course, are from Matthew 25:23. They relate the master's pleasure with a faithful steward. Chad Clark joins us today to talk about biblical financial stewardship. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always great to have Chad Clark with us on the program to share his perspective on things. Chad is, of course, the executive director here at FaithFi, and he's been studying what the Bible says about financial stewardship. Chad, great to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We should probably start, Chad, by defining our topic so we're all on the same page. So how would you define biblical financial stewardship?
Well, I think biblical financial stewardship is where Scripture both influences and informs our financial decisions. And so we look to the Bible's financial principles for guidance. And there are a lot of them, and you talk about these every single day on this program, Rob. But let's just talk about a few of them, such as God is the owner and we are managers. The importance of work, that we should give cheerfully and sacrificially. We should avoid the usage of debt and be intentional when preparing for the future.
Yeah.
It also encourages us to seek wise counsel, which we're so thankful that our callers call into this program every day to seek that type of counsel from you. And we're grateful for the work that you do to provide that to them. But I think biblical financial stewardship is more than simply following a set of principles.
Now, how so?
Well, I think it's important for us that to take a step back and look at these biblical financial principles in context of what all of Scripture points to.
That's a good point, because when we step back, all of Scripture ultimately points to Jesus.
Exactly. All of Scripture points to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So when we think about biblical stewardship, I think it should always point us back to Him and lead us into a deeper relationship with Him. Mm. And that's ultimately why FaithFi exists, to help Christians see God as their ultimate treasure, not their money and possessions. It's not just about following a set of principles, but a heart posture. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yeah, that's well said. Now, that's, of course, Chad, contrary to the world's message for managing money, right?
Yeah, it really is. The world wants us to treasure our money and possessions. It wants us to idolize them. But when God becomes the treasure of our heart, we realize money is simply a tool to be used for His purposes. And the Bible's financial principles help guide us to make good decisions that ultimately glorify Him. And that's exactly what our mission is here at FaithFi, to help Christians integrate faith and financial decisions for the glory of God.
Yeah, anyone can follow biblical financial principles and be financially successful. They are the embodiment of wisdom for managing money. But Christians can't be motivated by that alone. The ultimate goal, of course, is always to glorify God. And that's really the big idea for us here at FaithFi.
It is, and we'd love to get this message out to more people in 2024 because we believe it's a critical message that more people need to hear. We want to equip millions of people with the truth of God's word and help them steward their finances in such a way as to build His kingdom.
Yeah.
If you benefited from the work of this ministry, I would like to invite you. We're entering the end of the year, and we really are looking for your financial help to help us bring this message to more people. We have a goal to raise $250,000 by the end of the year. And so if you benefited from this program, if you enjoy listening to Rob, I'm just so grateful for your heart for this ministry, for the things that you've done. You show up 5 days a week and answer people's questions. And so if you've benefited from listening to Rob, you've called into the program, you've accessed our app or our resources, wow, we'd just be so grateful if you prayerfully consider supporting this ministry, helping us reach our end of year fundraising goal. And we're just grateful that you engage with us and that you participate in the FaithFi community.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Chad, and I'm grateful for you and your leadership. And the reason we do what we do is because of those testimonies of life change, just what you spoke about. It's people overcoming the challenges they have in their money lives, but it's so much bigger than that. It's really about developing a more intimate relationship with the Lord. Chad, I really appreciate you stopping by today and challenging our listeners here at the end of the year.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Folks, if you'd like to be a part of our end of year campaign, the way to do that is at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. When you make your best gift between now and December 31st, just click the give button at faithfi.com. www.thebenefitfi.com. And we are so grateful for so many of you that have already supported us, but looking for many more. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. He's really old. He's good-natured, joyful, but keeps a list of all the good and bad things you do, and the day is coming when he'll pull out that list and reward those who were good enough to make the cut. And lots of people believe in him. So the question is, who am I talking about? Santa? I know it sounded that way. But take away the sleigh, reindeer, and the red suit. It's basically what the average person believes about God. The only problem is, that's not what the Bible teaches. We read instead that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this Christmas, don't forget, it's not about your perfect record, but about the one who came to do what you and I could never do. Grow in your walk with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
God owns it all. We're stewards of his resources, which makes money a tool to accomplish his purposes. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, looking at our financial decisions through the lens of a biblical worldview. That means going to the source, God's Word, to draw our principles and thoughts related to handling his money. Let's start today in Pennsylvania. Hi, Natalie. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just heard your promo about contractors and saving money and all that, and that's kind of where my question is leading.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. First, my husband just started a business, a contracting business. He has been in the industry for 19 years and now is okay. An LLC sole proprietor.
Okay.
And basically for me, I don't have a part in the business as of yet since he just started. He said one day I will. But
okay.
I just wanted to know how to keep personal and business separate, because I know as him as a sole proprietor, he'll be taxed either way on everything. But I have a hard time understanding like personal tax and business tax. And then also leading into saving money and tithing to the Lord as well. the personal money and then the profits from the business. But technically, you don't know all that till the end of the year. But I hate to just fork out all this money for taxes and all this money at the end of the year for tithing if there's a way to do it kind of in between, you know, every 3 or 4 times a year.
Absolutely. So that's a great question. And I think you're exactly right to think about this now on the front end. I mean, if you don't keep your personal and business finances separate, it can really lead to an accounting nightmare for either you or a bookkeeper. So you really need to separate your business expenses, accounts, and finances from you personally, having separate checking account, having a separate business credit card, if that's something you need, just to be, you know, buy materials before you get paid from your customers. You potentially forfeit not only legal protections, but also tax deductions by not having those separated, because you want to clearly to be able to define what is a business expense, which will reduce the profit that you have. And you'll want to make sure that you, you know, keep track of any shared expenses or when you use personal items for business purposes, that type of thing. So it's important, I think, to get set up with an accountant or a CPA, somebody who can help you set up the books, if you will, on that, the chart of accounts. So how you're going to track expenses for the business, again, making sure you're not only you're registered as a legal corporation, and it sounds like you've already got the LLC in place, but also just the accounts and then the books or the records to document everything, because you'll want to be able to show to the IRS exactly what was a business expense and what was personal. Even though it's a flow through or a pass through entity, you're not going to be able to make certain deductions on the business side unless you can document and justify those expenses. So do you all have a CPA or an accountant that you work with?
Yes, we do have an accountant, and we also have a lawyer for any legal things that may come up.
Okay. All right. Well, so I would talk to your accountant just about getting everything set up. So making sure you have a small business bank account, you know, you want that, you know, Dun & Bradstreet number, you want utility accounts if there are any in the company's name, but you want to apply for credit in the company's name, the business credit card, and then just make sure you understand how to keep the books on a monthly basis as well. And that way you'll be able to run reports on truly how the business is performing so that you can see when, you know, it's starting to do better or when you see some red flags and you need to make some changes. But again, when it gets all intertwined with your personal finances, that can be a real problem. So I would ask that question and have perhaps the two of you, certainly the one who's going to be the bookkeeper, sit down with that accountant and have them walk you through what that needs to look like moving forward. I think it's also important to understand, just with regard to tithing, you know, a lot of times businesses right out of the gate don't make any money. And so we just want to tithe on the increase specifically as it relates to your business. So if you get to the point either sooner or later that you're paying yourself a salary, obviously as that comes in as in the form of income, clearly if you want to apply the principle of the tithe, you would tithe right on that amount. The question would be any earnings in the business that stay with the business. And you could take that on a, you know, an annual basis if you wanted to, and just look at, you know, at tax time, what is the true profit after all the bills are paid, all the salaries are paid out, if, you know, if any, and I realize you may not have one initially, but then you'll identify what is truly the increase for this year that's staying in the business as profit. And then if you wanted to tithe on that, given that this business is essentially you and your husband, you know, you could absolutely do that and then take that a year at a time. There could be a year where there's a loss and you wouldn't have any tithe. But, you know, I think that's the right approach to take, because clearly if you were to tithe, let's say every month, you don't know if you truly have an increase until you get to the end of a period of time, like a quarter or a year. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I just had one other quick thing. Because we don't have any retirement, because the company that he worked for didn't do that. So how would you recommend and are investing? Should we wait the first year, or should we start right away in investing in like,
You know, I think you're just going to have to balance cash flow on this, because, you know, so often businesses, when you're getting started, you need more cash. It takes more time than you think to kind of get it ramped up. I agree. We don't want to, you know, forsake the opportunity for compounding any longer than we have to. The earlier you can start, the better. I also don't want to put the business and really you guys, because you are the business, in a cash crunch where you're putting money into retirement accounts that you really don't have because you're still getting things up and running. You have new expenses. You're trying to figure out how much, you know, profit you're going to have, and you're trying to pay yourself a consistent salary so you can actually budget, like we talked about at the beginning of the program. So I'd probably say, you know, unless this thing is just given his experience and in this space, and, you know, if he has some jobs already lined up, unless this is going to come out of the gate really strong, I'd probably wait a year before you contribute, or get to the end of the year and before you file your return, that would be the time to contribute, especially if you find you're going to have a big tax bill and, you know, you want to take and save some taxes by making a contribution to a retirement plan. That would be a good time, you know, at the end of a year, getting ready to file that year's return in the first quarter of the next year to decide, where do we stand? How did we do? And, you know, is this a good time to go ahead and make a contribution? A good option for that, Natalie, would be what's called a SEP IRA. That's a simplified employee pension. Basically, it provides business owners like you all with a simplified method to contribute to retirement. And you can put away up to $66,000 a year or 25% of compensation, whatever's less. So you're going to be able to put a lot of money away. And then once it gets in there, you can invest it in whatever you want, probably some high quality mutual funds. And you could use a brokerage firm like Fidelity to open that. But I'd probably wait a full year. And then as you're getting ready to file that year's return, decide whether you have the money to make the contribution. Does that make sense?
Yes. And is that in the personal side or the business side?
It'd be a personal account. So it's a simplified employee pension, which is for small business owners. So it's for an individual, but it's specifically the purpose of putting retirement funds away, you know, in a larger amount because you're self-employed. Stay on the line. We'll talk more off the air. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net. We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Yeah, we want to take the seemingly unending decisions you have to make about money, some of the frustrations that come with it, and the fear, the what-ifs that you can have about money, and hopefully allow you to live a life with freedom and contentment and joy because you're applying God's wisdom to your financial decisions. You've placed your trust squarely in Him as your provider and your creator and sustainer of everything, not in the things of this world. You're holding God's money loosely and living generously. And when we do that, I think we're not going to be without in this world trials and difficult seasons. Bible's clear. We're going to have that. Just look at the Apostle Paul's life. But we can know that we've at least put ourselves in a position to do and be obedient toward God's plan and purposes in our lives in concert with Him through prayer and study of His Word. And we hope this is an encouragement to you, this program, every day as we unpack those principles and apply them to what you're dealing with in your financial life. Let's head to Mississippi. Hey, Don, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rod, thanks for taking my call. Sure. Enjoy your program. Listen to it every day.
Thank you.
If I could, I'd like to give a quick testimony of God's Great. Goodness, His grace. In 2017, I was on the verge of bankruptcy, about to lose everything I had. And I worked in the pipeline industry for several years. And that was kind of up and down, you know, kind of what you was talking about earlier today with, you know, your pay and everything. We'd work a while and be off a while. Well, anyway, I just got really tired of being in debt, and I just prayed about it. And I said, okay, Lord, if you open the door, we'll do it, you know. And I've been working ever since straight. I started out in 2017 with $220,000 in debt, and today I'm down to about $47,000.
Wow, so, Don, that's incredible.
Yeah, man. God has been faithful, man. He's been faithful.
Yeah.
And I have a question about retirement. I started really late. I started in probably 2020, I believe it was, so only 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
My company has a 401k. They match 6%. I have about $43,000 in that.
Okay.
In the last year or so, I bought a Roth IRA annuity. I put $14,000 in that. It's about 3.75%. And just here recently, I got a money market account, opened a money market account of about $35,000.
Yeah.
That includes my emergency funds and saving slash retirement savings.
Okay.
So my question is what do I need to do with this money that I have, or I'm just trying to make sure I'm doing everything I can since I got started so late.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Don, let me just say thank you for sharing that testimony. What an encouragement I know that was today to somebody who's in that position. Maybe you were years ago with $220,000 in debt saying, Lord, enough is enough. I want to invite you into my financial life. I want to do this your way. And you are making some incredible progress toward being debt-free. You're absolutely going to be debt-free well before retirement, which is going to allow you to be flexible and free to follow the Lord in whatever way He leads and allow you to keep your lifestyle as modest as possible in that season. So thank you for giving that testimony today, sir. You know, you're right. You're a little behind, but at the same time, you know, we just need to take from where we are today and move forward and make the best decisions we can. And I think you're doing the right things. Having that debt paid off is going to be key. You know, beyond that, what's most important is just to keep your lifestyle at a minimum. You know, living within your means is really the key to every financial success once we know that God owns it all. because that's going to give you margin or surplus to fund your goals and objectives that are aligned with your values. And at this point in this season of your life, it's putting money away so that when God redirects you away from paid work to whatever your next assignment is, you've got the ability to support yourself. You'll have some Social Security. You'll have this 401k and these IRAs. Beyond that, Don, is there any other retirement accounts that you'll have coming in?
No, like I said, that's what I'm trying to figure is where I need to put some of this money. I'm 59. I'll be 59 this year. So I'm probably going to look to work at least full retirement age, 67 or maybe even 70, according to, you know, how my health is right now. It's
And I think that'll be key, because if you can let that money grow, your Social Security, it'll grow by 8% a year until age 70, which will allow you to have potentially 3 years or, you know, another 24% on that check for life, which will really help to close that gap. You know, this year you could put in $27,000 in that 401k for 2023 if you're over the age of 50. So I'd be looking just to maximize my contributions into that 401k. It's going to give you a ability to deduct that from your taxes, which will save you a little bit on taxes. And I think the key is just to get as much as you can going into that account for the next decade so that you have a nice nest egg built up through all the markets ups and downs. It should over the next decade, you know, be higher. That's going to be at least the very best way, I think, historically speaking, to overcome inflation and build some wealth that will allow you to supplement Social Security. Do you have the ability to put somewhere close to $27,000 in this year?
I'd probably get pretty, you know, fairly close to it.
Okay.
But I had talked with a friend of mine who kind of does financial advisory, and we had talked about putting more in, but he says that if I do that, then I don't have control of the money. That's why we went with the Roth IRA with the annuity part of it.
Yeah.
So I'm lost on that stuff. You know, that's what I was wanting to ask you about.
Well, I appreciate that. If you would have called me and when you were considering the annuity, I would have said, let's not do that, because you can do better than 3.5% over the next decade in just based on history going all the way back to 1926. So I don't really like annuities. Even though you're right, you are limited in your investment options inside the 401k. You're going to have plenty of investment options for you to choose, you know, whatever investment strategy you want. And that's going to be the very best way to grow it, not inside an insurance product. So you've already got that. Let's just leave that right where it is and let it do its thing. It's probably going to have some penalties if you try to pull it out. But I wouldn't put any more in annuities or insurance products. I'd just sock it into the 401k and then pick the very best investments you can. If you need some help with those investment selections, you could reach out to one of our certified Kingdom Advisors in Mississippi. Just go to faithfi.com and click Find a CKA. But if it were me, I'd do it through the 401k and just try to max that out. Thanks for your call, Don. God bless you, my friend. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior, but often the busyness of the holiday season distracts us from its true meaning. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress helps us refocus our attention on the entrance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, into this world. Join us for the series, The Incomparable Christ, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you,
And we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Spreading the love and message of Jesus just got easier. The Christmas Bundle helps break the ice and open the door to share the gospel. It contains a Christmas shirt, 3 Christmas button or wristband 10 packs, 8 ounces of Noel coffee, the Advent Alphabet Book, a Hope of All the Earth CD, and a 10-pack of Isaiah 9:6 stickers, all at a very special price. Get your Christmas bundle today at resources.afa.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's such a privilege to come alongside you each day to be able to hear your stories and answer your questions, to be able to walk with you in this stewardship journey we all find ourselves on. Because here's the reality, at least my experience is that when we live in the tension of wrestling with God around how we should handle his money, what's the appropriate amount to spend and keep, and what more importantly should we be giving away, and what is God doing in our lives, and how can money as a tool be a reflection of that? You know, that's something that actually grows our faith when we lean into it. We make it a matter of prayer. I love what the last caller said. She said, you know what, you're right. My upbringing and the fact that I grew up very poor probably has a lot to do with how I handle money today and holding very tightly and being unwilling to lose any of it. And maybe I need to think about that. Maybe that's a matter of the heart that I need to turn over to the Lord. Well, we all have to ask those hard questions. And I think when we do, it will not only grow our faith, but make us better money managers. Hey, let's talk about that together today. What are you thinking about financially? All right, let's go to New Mexico. Hey, Don, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for taking my call. And I just want to say I really appreciate your program.
Well, thank you.
I do have a question today concerning charitable organizations that you're giving money to from an IRA. I'm 67 right now, and we're doing a capital fundraising campaign at our church for a building. And I heard that at 70 and a half, it's still okay to give tax-free money from your 401k or your IRA to the church without taxes. Is that correct at 70 and a half?
It is not from a 401k, but an IRA. What you're talking about is a QCD, or a qualified charitable distribution. And you can begin giving qualified charitable distributions from your IRA at age 70 and a half up to $100,000. And so what that does is it allows the money to go, Don, directly from the IRA to the charity or nonprofit or your church, allows them to get a full benefit of the money, and allows you to avoid paying any taxes on that distribution that would have otherwise been taxable. At the point where you have a required minimum, and that's now been pushed as of this year to age 73, you would also be able to satisfy that required minimum through that same qualified charitable distribution. It will not be able to come directly from your 401k, though. You would have to roll it into an IRA first.
Okay, that's marvelous. That makes a huge difference on how much you can give if you're not paying taxes on an IRA.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's a blessing to everyone because you get more money into the kingdom, the ministry, or your church gets more money to be able to take and use for their programming, or in this case, a building project. And you get to satisfy the RMD, you know, when that time comes. So I think everybody wins. It's often, it's an underutilized tool. Let me just say that. So I'm glad you're discovering it. Hey, tell me what your church is doing. What's the building project?
We're building a worship center to seat cool. about 500.
Nice.
And, which is marvelous. But it's a lot of money, you know, and it's going to be a God thing if it happens. So, and it will happen. It just matters. Well, God's got to be involved in it.
But that's the best way.
Given huge amounts of money, you know, the taxes are a big issue.
Yes.
Especially when you pull it out. Now you show an income of huge amounts, so you're paying high taxes.
Yeah.
High tax bracket. So.
That's exactly right, Don. I'm glad you brought this up. You know, here's the reality is that 90% of our wealth is held in the form of our balance sheet, and only 10% of giving is done in balance sheet giving, which means 90% of giving happens in the form of cash. When we give from our balance sheet, from your stock portfolio or a piece of real estate, and we do it in a tax-advantaged way like you're talking about, not only can we do it in a way that minimizes the tax impact, but it's just going to allow us to give a lot more over time, which is ultimately the name of the game. So Don, thanks for calling. All the best to you and that and your church on that building project. God bless you, sir. Stephanie's in Florida. Stephanie, go right ahead.
Yes, I just have a question on the best way to invest. And I've never done that before, so I'm kind of leery of it. But I'm not working at the moment, but I'm currently looking for a job. But I have about $55,000. That is what I'm concerned, that's what I'm trying to find out about investing. And I have about $13,000 in credit card debt.
Okay. Was it because of a single event or was it just kind of overspending for a period of time? How did you end up with that?
Well, without getting into a whole lot of it, I had gone through a divorce.
Okay. I certainly understand. And do you have, apart from this $50,000, do you have what I would call an emergency fund, which is your emergency reserves?
No, it'd be coming out of that. That's kind of what I'm living off of at the moment.
Okay, so you're living off of the $50,000?
Correct.
Okay, and what's the long-term plan there? Are you looking for a job, or what would allow you to move away from living off of that $50,000?
Yes, I'm currently looking for a job. I had to, I was in the middle of selling a house. It was a last marital asset. It was difficult emotionally to try to navigate. So now the house is sold, so now I'm freed up to work.
Okay, very good. Well, you've got a lot going on, and I certainly understand that this has been challenging, and it's resulted in not only this debt, but you just trying to navigate all of these things, including this home sale. And so I'm delighted that you're trying to take steps to move in this direction. I wouldn't be thinking about investing this $50,000 right now, Stephanie. I would just kind of sit tight, keep that in a savings account that's liquid. Just you focus on kind of what God has for you in this next season. Focus on getting this home sale closed, focused on moving if that's still to come. Let's focus on getting this debt paid off. If you do anything, I'd probably go ahead and pay off the credit card debt out of the $50,000 and then just sit tight. And then once you get into your new job, and we're just going to pray that the Lord provides just that right thing for you and you've got a good stream of income coming in, then we can start thinking about investing. And it's probably going to be best to come through salary deferral. So taking a portion of your paycheck and putting it into a retirement plan, I think is going to be the best option. But given some of the changes that are going on, the uncertainty and this credit card debt, which is probably high interest, I would be looking at paying that off out of the $50,000. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be thinking about investing right now. If you wanted to hang on to all of the $50,000, then the other approach would be to get on a credit counseling program so we can get the interest rates down and get this debt paid off a lot quicker with one fixed monthly payment. And then let's just focus on getting that new job. And I'll certainly be praying for you in that as well. Before we head back to the phones, you know, the question often comes from believers. Well, what is a biblical perspective of retirement? You know, our modern concept of retirement isn't specifically a biblical concept. There's a narrow reference to retirement in the Bible in Numbers 8 with the Levitical priest, but that was in a very specific instance. I don't think we can apply that just across the board. You know, the cultural view of retirement is a modern concept. Before the 20th century, people worked as long as they could, and then came Social Security and pensions, and a retirement age at 65 became somewhat of an entitlement. Well, as believers, we need to remember our service to the Lord never ends. The Apostle John was writing and preaching in his 90s. Polycarp, the pastor of Smyrna, in the second century, served, quote, 80 and 6 years, and then he was martyred. So prudent savings is wise. We need to prepare for when we're physically unable to work. But we should retire to something, not from something, and realize God's calling on our life doesn't have an expiration. So we've got to balance that with a lot of prayer and wisdom. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Tech is blatantly censoring conservative and Christian content, and today's issues made sure you're aware.
The control of information is stunning. Dr. Scott Atlas, one part of the president's team on coronavirus, cited information out of Europe on the lack of value of wearing masks, and Twitter has removed him.
If the issues affect you and your family, today's issues will keep you informed. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on AFR, or listen to the podcast anytime at AFR.net.
Are you being honest and dependable in your personal money matters? Honesty is one of the first things Jesus requires of new believers. When some tax collectors approached Jesus to be baptized, they asked, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." You need to be honest to be effective for God's kingdom work.
Tune in to Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let's head right back to the phones. We'll see if we can get to as many questions as we can here between now and the end of the program. To Michigan. Hi, Kim. How can I help you, sir?
Well, hi, Rob. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Got one kind of major question. My wife and I have been in church ministry for several years and really haven't established a retirement because we couldn't manage that. Yeah. She's an incredibly good budgeter, so she's got it down to where we do pretty well. When I started Social Security, we started because of extra income, saving the money for emergency fund and for retirement. But now our question is, we owe about $47,000 just over on our house, and we're trying to decide, should we just pay that off? We've got about 13 years to go on the mortgage. That will put us at 83 because we're 70 right now. What's your advice?
Yeah. So are you still working now?
I am still currently in ministry and have a part-time job.
Great. And how long, I mean, obviously only the Lord knows how long you'll continue to do this, but you can plan to continue this for the foreseeable future?
Yes, because I'm pretty good health and I enjoy both the ministry and then the work in a funeral home, which is, just like nice. An extension of my ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Well, I mean, God, as you know, God created us to be workers. So, we want to continue to, throughout the whole of our life, be in service to Him, whether that's paid or not. Just the assignment changes along the way. If you were to pay off the house, where would the money come from?
It would come out of that savings that we've been saving for retirement.
Okay.
Our Social Security savings that we've been doing. So we
all
would,
right. How much have you built up?
About 80,000.
Okay.
At this point.
Yeah, and that's just in a taxable account?
No, that's actually in our local bank.
Okay, but it's not inside a retirement account of any kind.
No, it is not. No,
okay,
I just have
got
a few little things like that, but they don't amount to anything to talk about.
Yeah, got it. And so as you look at this, I mean, if you were to stop working for pay, I know you're really only working part-time right now, and let's say the house is payment's gone, are you all able to live on Social Security, or are you really needing to build something up that you could draw an income from to supplement?
Yeah, I don't think we could really make it on Social Security because, you know, our monthly budget right now is about $4,000, and Social Security will only get us to about half that, just a little over.
Yeah, okay. All right. So if you're going to need, you think, maybe a $1,500 a month, you think? Is that probably about right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, if you were to build up something, you know, to, let's say, $250,000, you know, at 4%, that'd be $10,000 a year. I mean, that still wouldn't get you there, but, you know, that'd at least give you $800 a month. You may need to take a little bit more than that. But I think the goal is, how do we, you know, over this next, you know, let's say decade, if that's, you know, how long you're continuing to work for pay, how do you build up something, you know, maybe $250,000? I think the key is to get that money into a tax deferred environment and get it invested. So what I'd probably do is, you know, let's pull out 6 months worth of emergency reserves. So if you're living on $4,000 a month, you know, that's $25,000 that you'd probably want to put in a, leave in that savings account, may want to consider moving that to an online savings where you can at least get a little bit of interest on it. And then, you know, that would leave you $55,000 to do something with. And I'd probably start funding, you know, a Roth IRA for you and your wife. You could each put in $7,500 over the age of 50 per year, and you wouldn't have any required minimums as long as you have earned income. And then, you know, that could be invested with the idea that, you know, we want to try to grow that over the next decade. You'd still want to be fairly conservative, but you know, I might have 50% bonds, 50% stocks, and just try to grow it. And, you know, you guys could put in $15,000 for this year, if you wanted to do that. But tell me how you feel about that. Are you wanting to take a little bit of risk and try to grow this, or are you really wanting to stay more in bank type products that are guaranteed?
Well, we don't necessarily want to stay with the bank thing, but we don't want to be, you know, too invested in that right now because the banks are a little bit challenging or questionable, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about that. I mean, unless you're in one of the, I mean, this was really isolated to some, we could see more of it for sure, but it was isolated to some very specific regional banks that had mismanaged their you know, portfolios, because when they take in deposits, they lend it out and, you know, then they buy U.S. government treasuries. They had a lot of long-term treasuries. They had, particular in the case of Silicon Valley, depositors that were needing their cash because they're in a high growth industry. And in this environment, they were draining their deposits, and that required them to sell these assets at a loss, which resulted in, you know, a run on the banks, on those banks. I think it's limited, and the government has taken extraordinary measures to backstop it. And even as of late, Secretary Yellen plus Fed Secretary also is out, you know, Chairman Powell, and saying that we may go even beyond 250. So if you're up to, you know, 250,000 or less, I don't think you have to be concerned. I think the question is, what's the best place to balance getting out of debt so you reduce your lifestyle as much as possible? I think the key there is to do that by the time you stop working, because that's going to get your biggest expense off the table. And if you had a conviction to do that right away, you certainly could go in and wipe it out, and you'd still have, you know, probably 12 months worth of expenses in the bank. But I think the question beyond that is, if Social Security is not enough, what can we do to grow some wealth over the next decade? I'm just using that as a ballpark for how long you're going to continue to work for pay. You could go beyond that. But what can we do to grow some wealth so you have an asset there that you can convert to an income stream, you know, to use for the rest of your life? And I think that's really the key. And so if it were me, I'd probably, you know, just continue paying on this mortgage and, you know, try to sock some money away in an IRA and then invest it in a fairly conservative way, but where you have a mix of stocks and bonds and give you the potential to grow it over the next 8 to 10 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of does. We're both listening.
Okay.
So my wife.
But give me your thoughts, you and your wife. I'm delighted she's listening as well. Just on, you know, if that doesn't line up, because at the end of the day, you all are the stewards and, you know, we want to align this with your values and priorities and, you know, what God's doing in your life as a couple and in your family. And I think, you know, if you're saying, listen, Rob, we just feel like the Lord's giving us a conviction to get out of debt, then I would say you do that and don't look back. But if not, and you want to just continue paying on this mortgage, and I assume it's at a low interest rate, and you want to take this 80 and set aside the 6 to 12 months worth of emergency funds and keep that in savings, and then take the rest and start socking it away over the next decade into an IRA and get it invested where it can grow, then that would make some sense to me, unless that's misaligned with where you all feel like God is leading you. And if that's the case, then I fully support that. So give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and we're certainly praying about it. You know, daily. And I understand we need to invest to try to build that up. I just thought, you know, the interest our mortgage is 5.25%.
Oh, okay, so it's a little higher.
That was good back in 2006.
That's true. That's true.
But
yeah,
we've never refinanced and so on like that. So
okay,
I think it was,
yeah. So that may change things just slightly for me, because you know I was thinking you had one of these 2.75 or 3% rates. You know, with over 5, yeah, I like this idea of you all just wiping that out and then shoring up that savings of 6 months. And so that would be 47, and then if you put another 25. Into emergency savings, that's 72. And then you could take the remaining 8, and maybe that's what you use to start the IRA. And then you guys have some peace of mind to know, hey, we're completely debt-free. We don't owe anybody anything. And now we're going to focus on taking 100% of our surplus every month now that this mortgage is paid off and put it away toward long-term savings. You know, I think you could absolutely make a case for that at age 70.
Yeah, I think that sounds really good. That gives me a little more sense of relief, because we heard your Money Minute this morning. You just said save the interest, and that would save us quite a bit of interest, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, I think given that interest rate, I can get on board with that. Why don't you guys take another week or so and just pray about it separately and together and see where the Lord leads you. But we appreciate you being on the program today. Thanks for calling today, Kim, you and your wife. God bless you guys. Thanks for your service to the Lord over a long, long time. If we can help further, let us know. Quickly to Chicago. Joe, you'll be our last caller. Unfortunately, I was long-winded there. How can I help you?
Thank you, Rob, for taking the call. My wife and I, we're both 57 years old. We recently financed. We have 28 years left on our mortgage. It's on a 3-flat building. We occupy one of the units, and the rents that come in on the building covers the mortgage with escrow and actually gives us about $150 of surplus. The rents are about 15 to 20% under market value. We have wonderful neighbors, and we want to keep them comfortable as well. With the rate of inflation being what it is today, and I'm needing that 3% locked in for the next 20 years, should I just let the rents ride and pay the house off by itself, or should I make attempts to pay off the building earlier?
Yeah, and what would you use to pay it down quicker?
Our incomes. I'm 57 years old. I'm a first responder. I'll be retiring this year, but my wife will continue to work, and I'll be drawing about $5,000 on a monthly pension.
Okay, I got it. And what are you doing with that surplus now if you're not paying toward the mortgage? Are you putting it away in investments?
We just finished putting our last daughter into graduate school. So, okay. You know, she just wrapped up graduate school. So now we have this extra $150. and the rent to pay off the mortgage completely. And we're kind of wondering, do we pay the building off sooner or do we let it ride?
Yeah, I think I'd let it ride, especially since you're 15 to 20% under market. I don't think those renters are going anywhere. And now you're going to have some surplus now that your daughter's through grad school. I'd just sock that money away and let the buildings pay for themselves. We appreciate your call. Sorry I didn't have much time, Joe. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. I so love coming alongside you to encourage you and answer your questions and talk about how we can handle money God's way. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. So glad you were here for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow, will you? We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.